Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We're real fired up for you guys. It's going to be great to see Shota back on the bump. We had a conversation this morning about our expectations. How long is he going to go? What's it going to consist of? Maybe you can clear that up. Do you have a set plan for how long he goes? Does it depend on how he's feeling and how he's pitching? What are your expectations for today's performance?
Yeah, I think it's the answer is yes. Whenever you have a guy coming back from injury, you kind of have a methodical or systematic kind of thought in your head of where you expect him to be, at a certain time. And we kind of have that in our head today with Shota. But, for us, if I say here today he's going to throw 80, 85, 90 pitches, it's going to be a hot one today in St. Louis. It's going to be muggy. He's already coming off an injury, that whenever you have a hamstring injury or a injury like that, you always get concerned about guys that do have, a day like today where it's going to be lack of hydration, humid, hot, guys going to be sweating a lot. So big thing for us today is just going to be make sure we communicate with Shota, see how he's feeling, watching the pitch data as the game goes on and making sure everything looks good, and then kind of go from there. So it's going to be one of those days. I could say to you right now exactly what he's going to do, but, we may adjust depending on what we're seeing today, and with the weather obviously being hot and humid here, it's going to play a factor.
Tommy, can you tell us what the corresponding move is? Because your pitching staff, a lot of different guys have fallen into a lot of specific roles, and they're just curious how you address it. It's a nice problem to have, but Shota coming in means somebody's probably moving out.
Yeah, I can't talk specifically about that yet. We haven't made the official move yet. That'll be today, and obviously the players haven't been informed, so we'll wait on that. But I would just say this: there's a lot of guys that have been throwing the ball well, and guys are doing a great job. We're currently carrying 9 relievers, so we'll have to obviously make an adjustment there.
It's fascinating in a large extent because, we obviously are playing along and wondering what the rotation will look like and how will things change. And there's all sorts of rumors. Jed has been very transparent in his quest to add another starter to the team and by trade. Are you, and I'm not asking you who you're trading or what you're going to get done, but are you involved in talks about stuff like that? Do you look at tape of various guys? He has been about as outspoken about it as I've ever heard, and he did like a whole group of media appearances about a week ago where he said the same thing at every stop.
Yeah, when we're in this time of the season, especially where we are in our schedule, where we're playing 26 games. Well, actually, 26 games, 28 days because we had the rain out. But we're in that thick of the season where we're really focused, obviously, on the guys we have, continuing to find ways to improve here. And we obviously hear names and we talk about certain guys. And we always do our due diligence to kind of check in on them and see, what things look like, how the season's going. But in terms of like doing any deep dives or getting into, I would say the weeds on any individual guy, we have a great front office staff that'll do a lot of that legwork on any of the guys whose names are kind of coming up. And I really trust the people that we've brought in over the last few years, the R&D department, our front office, our scouting. They all do such a fantastic job of identifying these guys and kind of setting the tone. So anytime we do acquire somebody new, even if it was like, you know, Genesis Cabrera, you know, midseason or guys like that, you feel like you have a good foundation of knowledge built on these guys because of the work those guys put in. So, you know, obviously this is an exciting time of the season because we're winning ball games, we're playing well, we've got a great group, and you know, now we want to continue to build on what we have, and so it's going to be fun to see just kind of how things come together. But for me, and what I do, the day-to-day grind of us, you know, playing, I'm really dialed in on what our guys are doing here right now.
Tommy, I think we all appreciate Jamison Tyone's consistency, his professionalism, and the fact that he takes the ball every fifth day. And he has been more good than bad. I think that the home run thing starts to come up, though, and you wonder, it can't be – is there a simple explanation? Is there something that he's doing that he needs to stop doing? It just seems like he's very good, and you always say, but he's giving up a lot of home runs. How do you address that from your perspective?
Yeah, I think number one, you try to identify where the homers, where the damage, the slug is coming from. Could be a pitch that he's using, you know, isn't performing how we either one expected it to or it did last year. I think, you know, if it was throwing pitches that, you know, on paper we would expect to perform well, and he's just not, and we're just not getting those results. I want to dig into why. Is it a command thing? Is it a deception thing? Are his mechanics a little off on it? Are the hitters picking that up early? Are we just not protecting it because we're not doing enough, for example, into righties to protect the slider away? All those things are things that we kind of dig into. And I would equate just these last two games to just lack of command for J-Mo. J-Mo throws a ton of strikes, and usually he can execute, you know, his fastball and everything he wants to do at a high clip. And, you know, I felt like last game, you know, he was, you know, probably about 10%. I mean, he's a 70% first pitch strike thrower, so I don't complain about a guy who was 60% first pitch strikes. But he, you know, was a little bit less first pitch strikes. But the bigger thing to me was, like, after strike one the last couple games, then it's kind of been like a little bit of, like, nibbling around the zone instead of continuing to attack. And next thing you know, you look up and you're 2-1, you know, 1-1, 2-1 counts, and you kind of pitch yourself in some of these hitter counts. And for J-Mo, when he's at his best and he's in strike one, then he's attacking, he's 0-2, 1-2 on every hitter. And when you're in those counts, you're going to have a lot of success. So, you know, we've got some things in the works with J-Mo. Obviously, I don't want to, you know, put everything public because we want hopefully some of it to work, you know, on Sunday. So I don't want to tell all of our secrets of what we want to work on. But I do think there's some usage stuff that we can tap into right away that I think will have, you know, have a lasting impact on, you know, just helping him protect some of his pitches that he wants to use. You know, and for me, the other part is just continuing to work on mechanical side for him. This part of the year, when you start to get a little fatigued, it's hot, you're starting to hit 90, 95, 100 innings, it's important to make sure that you're staying on top of the little things that are going to help you have consistent delivery. And I'm a big proponent of the consistent delivery, you know, leads to consistent, you know, command and pitches. So that's something we'll obviously be focused on right now.
Tommy.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Brown sent down, Ben Brown back to Iowa. Is that in part because you wanted to keep him stretched out and he can stay on a normal starter rotation? Or was that to let him learn another pitch while he's down there? I mean, why the decision on Ben Brown, and do you imagine him coming back this year, maybe when rosters expand, if not earlier?
Yeah, we believe in Ben, you know, obviously as a starter. If it were a different part of the season, he could go to the bullpen right now and pitch and compete at a high level. But I think with Ben, it's so important to continue to develop as a starter. He has the stuff, even though he's majority of his starts have been a two-pitch mix, he's got the stuff to go through some of the best lines in the game. We've seen that. We saw that in that Dodgers start. We've seen him get on runs where he's absolutely, dominant. And through this process, he's worked hard, you know, on developing that changeup. And some days it's good and some days it's not. Some days he trusts it, some days he doesn't. And what you have to be able to do at the major league level is throw pitches that you may not trust in terms of like the grip and the movement right now to protect your other two pitches. And I think for Ben, we've seen when he has his fastball and curveball, and when they're locked in, the command of those are great and the shapes are great, he can beat anybody. When they're not, that's when that third pitch will come into play to help you, you know, to buy yourself some room, put that doubt, that little bit of doubt in the hitter's head that it's not just going to be these two pitches coming at you. And I think, you know, this part of this process for Ben, when he went through last year, he had two really good months, and then he got hurt. So the development side of things, Ben kind of took a halt because we had to get him healthy again. We had to work hard this offseason, and he had to work hard this offseason to build back up to where he felt like he could, you know, could compete at a major league caliber level while working on these pitches. And so some of the development side kind of got, played second fiddle to a lot of the health stuff as it should. So I think now for Ben, just his ability to have some more time, we can kind of spread out the starts a little bit to give him some time to work on stuff between starts, to be able to get some good bullpen work in, continue to work and develop that changeup, but also, you know, go down and just go dominate some hitters and go have some results. I think all those things are things that Ben is going to be able to work on, you know, over the next few weeks.
Tommy, you guys have had such success with veterans in your bullpen and figuring out what to fix and having some success with it. Michael Fulmer seems like he could be the latest project or example. He comes back after the surgery. You know him well from the first stint with the Cubs. What do you have in Michael Fulmer?
I mean, obviously it's fun to have Michael Fulmer back, you know, spending some time with him like we did in 23. And, he's a veteran guy who's done it all. Like, he started, he's closed, he's pitching high leverage on the bullpen, he's pitched multiple innings in the bullpen. I mean, he's got, you know, kind of a complete pitch mix. And I think with Fulm, like, seeing him come back after his surgery and kind of feel like he's hitting his stride again, it's just fun having those guys in the bullpen because, you know, they're playing with, you know, a little bit of a chip on their shoulder, even though they've had great careers, but they have something to prove. They want to prove that they can still pitch in this game at a high level. And when you do that, you're hungry to get better. You ask a lot of questions. You add new drill work, mechanical drill work, plyo work, work on new pitch grips. The willingness to do all that stuff and continue to improve is, like, for me, I've talked about this before, but that's what makes coaching so fun, is when you have guys that are willing to try new things, willing to work on things to get better, and aren't just kind of set in their ways. You see it more and more now, and you're seeing guys pop up. You're like, where was this guy the last 2 years? He's having a great year. We were talking about that the other day with a few Astros guys. We were going to see some of the pitchers they have, and there's some names you're going to see. It's just like, wow, this guy, you know, wasn't doing much the last couple of years. Now he's having a great year. That's baseball. You know, it's fun, and definitely Fulmer's part of that.
I got to tell you, I just wonder, how fast are young guys throwing? Because every time you turn around, there's another guy coming up who's throwing the ball 100-plus on a regular basis. The White Sox brought up a guy, Grant Taylor. He threw a pitch at 102.5. It's like the 64th pitch That's
Mizorowski.
Mizorowski's throwing 100 plus. Yeah. I mean, that's an incredible skill and an amazing thing to see. But how do you worry about guys throwing that hard? Is it okay to throw that hard, or is it just something that you learn to kind of? I heard J-Mo say that if the season goes on and you're feeling really good, and then all of a sudden the game is harder for you. And I would imagine that's everybody and everything that goes on. We don't ever talk about different arm issues or troubles or any small thing that impacts you as a pitcher. How do these guys throw like that, and how do they do it so consistently?
Well, I think number one, just as we got, and back when I kind of started my original role with the Cubs back in 15, a lot of the data, basically all the data we had, was just pitch data. You know, we had data on how pitches moved. We had data on, and then, like, obviously result-based data on opposing hitters. And it was kind of that tail end of the Moneyball era when, you know, pitch data was starting to become more prevalent. So from 2015 to now, basically 11 seasons, we went from having pitch data just on how a ball moves to now every aspect of how a player moves. And the amount of information, the amount of stuff we've learned over that 10-year window just from getting more public data has changed a lot of the training that we do with players. How guys we've learned more about how they move and why they move the way they do. We've learned more what we feel like, where velocity comes from, where command comes from. A lot of aspects of the pitching world, it's like your eyes have been open over the last 10 years. We're starting to see and learn a lot more things. So without getting like too technical, and again, to answer your question about the guys throwing harder, I think we're learning how to efficiently unwind a pitcher, or why a pitcher moves the way they do. And when you can throw what we talk about here, just like more on plane. So when your shoulders and your torso are rotating in a certain way that your arm path naturally happens, usually guys can throw harder. And you would expect that to also help with health when you're not trying to get out of plane with your arm and torso and how you're rotating. So I think for me, like, there is a chance. You know, obviously when anytime you're putting more stress and effort on your body, they're always going to be exposed to injury risk. But that's what we do, and that's part of baseball. But when you do it more efficiently, there is a chance that you can throw harder and be healthier. Hmm. And I think we're in this unique time in pitching where we're learning so much about how the body moves and why it does what it does. And some of that means we can exploit some areas and help you gain 1 or 2 miles an hour, you know, fairly easily, or we make some minor adjustments to get you healthy and you recover faster and you're able to pitch more often. So all those things are kind of in that second phase, second frontier here of the pitching world, where we went from pitch data and shapes to now velocity and biomechanics and helping guys maximize what they can do.
Great stuff, Tommy. Really fascinating stuff. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Tommy.
Of course. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
Good luck today.
That is Tommy Hotovy.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.